You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. What a weekend it was in the FAI Cup. You're welcome along to Series A, Episode 26 of the show, which as ever is brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. We thank Anthony Quinn and all the team at Quinn AV for their continued support of the podcast. But Gary, you often hear the term applied to the League of Ireland, the greatest league in the world, but I think people might actually be talking about the First Division when they're talking about the greatest league in the world. What a weekend for the First Division clubs. Athlone stunning Waterford, although had a controversy about it. Cork put up a great fight against Derry. UCD knocking out Sligo Rovers. We thought that was a game that might give Sligo headaches, but I still don't think we predicted that result. And then Kerry putting it up against Bowes, and we'll obviously be talking about the fallout from that game from a Bowes perspective. We've also got to talk about the statement released by Shamrock Rovers today, RTE against Rovers, and as I said, we'll be talking Bowes as well because Bowes fans are not happy. Danny Mandreu back in the league as well, so there's an awful lot to get through on this week's show, but we'll start by recapping the FAI Cup weekend. And as I said, what a weekend for the First Division clubs, guys.
Yeah, two true against Premier opposition. I think that's... Sligo have a good record of getting bet by First Division clubs in the FAI Cup. Longford Town, I think, did it to them twice.
Twice, yeah.
UCD, someone else did it to them as well.
I seen a stat the other day. Was it something like 6 in 9 years or something like that? That was
Something emotional like that. But I remember that Longford Town one. I think that was in 2018. Longford Town came
home from, and away to bet them.
Yeah,
in two years in a row.
Yeah,
I missed the one away. I was on holidays, but I was at the home one. Obviously, yeah, went to extra time. It's actually a great tie. That one, it was a great match.
Peter Hopkins absolutely scored it.
He was unbelievable. I think it was his debut match. Peter Hopkins.
It was, yeah.
I think he's down under now in Australia. But Jamie Hollywood got the winner.
He did the worst goal in the history of the planet. Oh God, lovely stuff. But really good weekend, as you said, for First Division clubs at Lawn. I would say robbed it actually. But your red card was rescinded today.
That's a rarity.
And
put that in the scrapbook. That is a rare one.
It is a rare one, but I don't know what basis it's on. Like, is it? It's not mistaken identity.
Mm.
They don't accept. Well, they say they don't accept video evidence, which is a lie, because they do. So I don't really know on what basis it was rescinded. So that's an interesting one.
Wrongful dismissal seems to be the term that's in the press release today.
Wrongful dismissal.
An independent appeal committee of the FAI has upheld Waterford FC's appeal for wrongful dismissal following Dara Leahy's red card in the Waterford game against Athlone. Dara Leahy is now eligible for the game against Derry on the weekend.
Okay, fair enough, I suppose.
It was never a red card, though.
No, it was never a red card. No one had a clue what was going on when that red card was put up. But look, there you go. Then we have a ball or a shot or whatever it was that went a mile over the line.
Do you have any sympathy for the officials there? Because there was an awful pile of bodies.
There was. Like, you have to be sure of these things. Like, and yes,
we don't have technology.
We have nothing. Stolen nothing in the league. But like at the same time, I do have a certain level of sympathy.
Yeah.
The red card was never a red card.
No, that's a shocking decision, yeah.
Yeah, that was bullshit. But this is not bullshit. This is a different level of stuff here again. Like you can't, it's very hard to make out. I do have some level of sympathy for the officials, but at the end, you know, you kind of, like right in the last minute, like there's no possible way that they could see it. There's like 15 lads in underneath the crossbar. I don't know how you could expect anybody to see it. The picture from behind the goal makes it look 10 times worse than it is. But that ball was there for a split second. That cameraman, to be fair to him, was probably taking 30 shots a second, you know, and picked out the worst one. Not him, but like the worst one was picked out. So it looks 10 times worse than it was. But look, that's all part of it. And then we have Kerry doing a good job on Bowes for a large part of the game.
Just before we get to that, I'll say this.
Fly away, did they?
We're starting to look like real fools on this podcast.
Fools.
Why are we listening to these lads? They're wrong about everything. We, a few weeks ago, said Sligo would finish bottom. They've gone on an unbelievable run. We'll put the cup result to one side. There's probably other things we've got wrong this year as well, but like, we got a lot of tweets over the course of the weekend about, lads, do you need to maybe change your stance on the first division? We have been highly, highly critical of the standard of the first division, and the first division clubs have had a cracking weekend in the cup, and it's made me start to think a little bit. We have been absolutely, and this is something we got wrong last year as well. We were adamant last year. We were absolutely adamant that whoever finished ninth in the Premier would stay up with ease. Waterford or whoever was in the playoff wouldn't go up. And Waterford went up against Cork, and we've doubled down on that this year. And we've said things like Dundalk or Drogheda or Bowes or whoever could put 9 men out and they'd still win that tie against the first division club. Have we maybe overlooked the fact that is a one-off tie? It's essentially a cup tie like we had at the weekend. And whoever goes into that 9th spot, maybe aside from Drogheda, if Drogheda pull themselves off the bottom, get into 9th, they'll probably say, right, job done, let's go. And, you know, there's a bit of, they've achieved something, they've got themselves off the bottom. But like, if Dundalk or particularly Bowes slide down into 9th, they're going into that game with extremely low morale. I mean, go back, and people probably know what I'm going to reference now. Longford Town 2020. They finished fifth that year or fourth?
Fifth. Yeah, sure. Remember, Dara came over to see at the end of the game.
We were still in the playoffs. Yeah,
we were still in the playoffs. For God's sake, it was tragic.
Yeah, we were bet. Was it bet down in Wexford?
2-1 down in Wexford after going 1-0 up. All we needed was a point.
All we needed was a point. We lost 2-1. Me and you were two of the only lads down there, I think. And Dara was walking over and we couldn't even look at him.
Yeah.
And he goes, are we still in the playoffs? And I think we just said, yeah, just about. And we just walked off. We were disgusted. One of the few times we were probably ever very, very angry with him. But Longford got into that, fell over the line into fifth, got into the playoffs. And then they built up momentum by beating UCD in a thriller, doing a real job on Galway. And then they played Shells. And there was a real smell about Shells at that stage, that there was something not right in the camp. The vibes, as we like to say, didn't seem great. We had Ian Morris on this pod kind of a few weeks beforehand, and there was kind of vibes that he was getting a bit anxious maybe as well. And we know what happened. Longford beat that Shelburne team. So, like, if Athlone or UCD, I think they're the two best outside of Cork. I think there's no argument about that. If they were to finish in that playoff or get into that playoff final, is there any chance that they could beat a Bowes, a Drogheda or a Dundalk on the basis of what we've seen at the weekend?
I think so. There's hope there, but I think what you said about like the momentum, if Drogheda get up, like that would be an achievement for them to get into 9th. So like they're going to be buzzing, and you need to use those wins, you know, those little wins that they have had this season.
Nothing little about their win at the weekend.
No, but to inspire them, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Like it has to be. There's a lot made about like the team, and we've obviously fallen victim to that before, where we were saying, yes, the team in 9th are too good, but we probably didn't put enough importance maybe on the idea of they've had a shite season, bet loads, and then you have a team that was in 2nd that might have been challenging for the title, maybe not. I know that wasn't in recent years, but we're doing really well and we're winning lots of games. And, you know, a football team is a great place to be around when you are putting wins together and gathering up points. And, you know, you have something like that at the weekend for Athlone, for example, 2-1 down an injury or an extra time and win 3-2.
I was watching that game and I was like, Waterford went 2-1 up and I was like, right, that's over, I'll go to Shells.
I did the exact same with that.
Loaded up flash score and I was like, what's after happening here?
Yeah. So like, I suppose, you know, and particularly even watching the final last year in Tala, I was actually out in Dublin and I got the barman to put it on, believe it or not. And it was, couldn't believe what I was watching. So there is like the mental piece, you know, where you've been getting bet all season, you're more likely to take a beating again. It's hard to pick yourself up, for that one-off game, but I wouldn't. Like, it's very hard to see. Like, Bowes look to be, you know, maybe I'm feeding into a bit of the jibber jabber online, but there's a lot of people going looking for Rennie to walk back from Kerry just walk out of the club, and a few other people as well, players included. But it was a very difficult day for Buzz. There was no real win here. We said it before about Derry, where if they beat someone like UCD 5-0, well, this is what they should be doing.
Mm.
And then if they don't, you know, either way, no matter what they did, they weren't going to win.
Yeah.
But Buzz still, you know, tried to fill the togs as best they could. And only for a couple of really bad penalties from Kerry, they would have been under a lot more pressure.
Yeah, I think you could see the lack of experience in that situation for Kerry. Like, you knew by lads, the one that was blazed over the bar, just the way the lad was putting it on the spot, was like, this fella doesn't look like he's ever taken a penalty in his life. He obviously has and practiced them and all, but just like the pressure clearly got to the Kerry lads, and that bailed Bose out of trouble. But like, you look at Bose, and I think there was, go back 2 or 3 weeks, fans were like, geez, if this doesn't improve, we could finish in the ninth spot, but like, didn't maybe fully believe it. And again, you said maybe you can read too much into the online stuff, but I think the reaction to that result last night, like, there's so much of it. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that sort of reaction after a win for a team before. It was insane, the reaction last night. But I understand, I'm not saying it was wrong, but like, I just couldn't believe the volume of it that was online last night. And even, again, throughout the course of the day, I've been scrolling through Facebook groups and stuff like that. Like, it's again, that word, the vibes. We talked about Declan Devine, that they kind of had to move him on because he had just totally lost the fan base. But, like, I think just Rennie now, the vibes around him are worse than anything Devine had at any stage of Bo's tenure.
Yeah, it's not
a lot of talk as well. Fans are kind of picking up on things now that he's... when results don't seem to be great, he doesn't seem to be doing the LOI TV interviews, and that seems to be another thing that's kind of stuck in the throat of Bose fans at the moment.
Yeah, but there's been a few major faux pas throughout the year. Like that under 21 issue, that was stupid. He should have, the other thing, like, whatever about, you know, was in place or not in place or agreed or not, he should have really recognised that himself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He should have gone, actually, I could do without going here. I'm under pressure. I'm busy. I have a lot going on with Buzz. We're shite.
Or it should have been flagged the minute he took the job. That should have been, you know, in the press release. He won't be, you know, oh, he's...
Yeah, but that was all agreed.
One more camp or whatever, you know, like, for just to creep up on everyone. And, oh, Jesus, he's not here this week. Like, that was insane.
Yeah, it was insane, but he should have recognised that himself, regardless of what was agreed in advance of that. But look, he didn't, and... he created an issue that wouldn't have been an issue really at all, regardless of the results at the time. But I think there's been a few little things like that. I don't really know. Like it was a couple of weeks ago, we were saying that, you know, they need to give him time. He needs a couple of windows. He needs to get a lot of that dirt out of there and then sign other players. But there's very little ticking nicely for Bose at the moment. Like,
well, I couldn't believe in the game yesterday. We've seen a lot of Kerry over the last couple of years. We know they're an extremely physical side, but last week when we were previewing the game, I was going to say one issue I could see is Kerry's physicality. Then I'm like, this is a Bose team. They're training every day. They're probably in the gym every day. They're full-time professionals. Like, there's no way they're going to get out-muscled and bullied by a first division team. And that is exactly what happened. They were pushed around yesterday down in Tralee, particularly for the goalkeeper for Kelleher's second goal. Now, I actually thought it was a foul, but the keeper has invited himself into that situation. It was just a comical goal to give away. It was, as we say, very, very Bosey. But I couldn't believe how weak physically Bose looked against Kerry yesterday.
Yeah, that was quite noticeable as well. Like, Kerry, like, left everything on the pitch.
Yeah,
like,
they were really dying. Yeah.
They were dying come the end of it. And, you know, that's what you need to do in these ties when you have a chance against a Premier Division side. But I think the difficulty was that, for Bose, was the physicality from Kerry. They put themselves about, put the pressure on Bose a lot, to be fair, and that, like, obviously worn them out. But they were making life very difficult for Bohemians and didn't let them play. And that was one of the positives for Kerry. Like, they knew they were always going to find it difficult. They were helped with that offside goal, Kelleher's first goal, a country mile offside, not even close. Desperate decision from the linesman, by the way, because he had the 6-yard box to help him.
Mm.
But I didn't think it was a foul on the Bulls keeper at all. Should have been stronger. He was kind of probably walking around thinking I'm untouchable. But he got put down and should have been far stronger. Far too casual.
Who 100%. Look, he's invited himself into that situation, as I said, but I did think it was a foul. I thought it was a shove in the back. But again, another thing that we may be proven wrong on yet, I think we had a tweet a few weeks ago about Kelleher, how far can he go in the game? And me and you both felt he's probably a good first division striker and maybe mightn't be Premier Division level, certainly the top of it. But like getting those couple of goals against Bowes, you'd imagine now come the end of the season, and I know he's got kind of a longer term contract to Kerry, but I wonder, will he have a few suitors in the Premier Division?
I'm sure he will. Depends on, you know, to start with probably be the second half of the division. So it'll be dependent on who's going up and who's come. Like we'll say, he's probably not going to get a look in the Cork after their signings in the last few weeks, but he might get something, you know, with it, whoever goes up or whoever stays in the division. Maybe Bowes will look at him. They might have been very impressed with what they saw. But they could definitely do it with someone with a bit more heart.
Bowes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we've been moaning for a while about the lack of identity with Bowes. I don't know what they're trying to achieve at all. It's strange stuff.
Do you think Rennie sees it through to the end of the season?
I do think he sees it through to the end of the season. Like, it's hard to see. You know, on one hand, you have people. Oh, it's not the board. Well, then who is it? You know, like people going on about, oh, it's Fenlon and bringing in this player and that player, and he's not good enough. And who's monitoring the situation as regards, you know, transfer policies and who they're bringing in? They tried something, and it seems to be like, I'd say they were sick seeing Rovers sign Danny Mandreau. They would have definitely brought him back, because that's all they seem to be able to do is bring back players that have left. So that's a, you know, he would have been a great addition to Bohemian side. But yeah, I just really don't know what they're actually trying to do. It's kind of odd, but I don't know how to change it. Like, I think they'll have to muddle down and keep going with Rennie for the time being, to be quite honest.
Will they avoid that playoff?
Very hard to know.
I see a very much a resemblance to the Shells team that ended up there in 2020.
I don't think it's that bad yet. Like, there's a lot of, at that boat or that Shells team in 2020, there was war going on, and despite what people have said, it was perfect in the dressing room. Sorry, that's just not the case. Like, should they got tonked by Athlone, didn't they, in the cup that year as well? So, yeah, no, don't really buy that, to be quite honest.
The problem with Bowes now is like the home record is so bad, and the fans are losing their minds at the minute over performances and, as you, certain areas of the club that they feel aren't been run right or whatever. Like, playing at Daly Mount now is going to be, unless they can start picking up results, it's going to become a massive issue for them between now and the end of the season, which it shouldn't be. It should be the thing that bails them out of trouble should be their home form.
Yeah, well, they're miles away from that. That's not going to be a runner at all. Like, we were talking last week about their, you know, their next handful of games. So we have Shells away, Rovers at home, Shells at home, then Derry away. That brings us to about a month worth of football. That's four games that Bowes could very well lose, each and every one of them. That's not beyond the realms of possibility. Like, two games against Shells,
yeah.
Game against Rovers. I know they bet them in Daly Mount already this season, but that was with an ineligible player, let's say. But yeah, and that was a shite game with two shite teams. So, you know, and then they have, which could be a six-pointer after that, in the middle of September, is Bowes against Drogheda. And then they go to Talca Park, or then they go to Oriel. So they're playing all the teams that are miles ahead of them. and then the teams that are around them all in a very short space of time.
Mm.
And that, by the time they get to be playing the two loud teams, they could be in a world more of pain. You know, consider it, like, they could be off the back of four more league losses, which is just insane when you think about it. Considering as well, like, when was the last time they won a game in the league? I can't really remember, to be quite honest. So
yeah, huge few weeks coming up for them. I think we're going to be talking about Bulls quite a lot on this pod over the next few weeks. Just spinning through other results, I suppose something we have to mention, Gary, is how one-sided the League of Ireland v non-league ties were.
To talk about that?
Ballyfermot 0, Wexford 3, Drogheda 9, Wilton United 0, Treaty United 7, Pike Rovers 0. Yeah, they were the three games involving non-league sides. I mean, again, this whole thing, can they mix it? No, they can't.
I think we, yeah, like I don't dispute that at all. I just think, you know, that's the way it is.
Someone said to me, they replied to one of the results and they just said, like, that's embarrassing. I don't think it's embarrassing for these teams. That is the level. That is where they are, and that's where the league now is. I mean, I know we've talked about the standard of the league, and that's something we'll touch on in a second, actually, because I think we've maybe changed our viewpoint slightly over the last... I think what you said on the pod last week was spot on. It's maybe not a standard thing. The league has clearly improved. Like, the Premier Division's more competitive now than ever. We've got two teams through to playoff rounds in Europe. The league is competitive. It's strong on the pitch. It's just the product and entertainment value,
the style, yeah,
that we have found to be very low. But like, the league is improving and the junior leagues are where they are, and there's a lot of talk about, oh well, they're out of season. Well, like, you know, go summer, go the same way as the national league in this country, and maybe there can be some sort of partnership. You know, we could loan players out to these clubs to get experience all, but like, if you're just going to continue as you are, then don't be surprised when there's a big gulf in standard.
Yeah, well, I think, like I've said it many times before, the difference in class, the gulf in class between first division, like the gulf in class, like people that think that even, like what said, the Leinster Senior League is low quality just don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
The Sky Sports subscribers or the Dodgy Box subscribers that will be, you know, watching lads in Old Trafford or whatever, wherever they're watching them, that's different than obviously anything in Ireland. But to say that I just don't think people have enough, or like the general football and public, or the general public, or whoever you want to call them, have any idea about how fit or how talented even the lads in the first division are. It's just insane. Mm. Like, they just do not get how quick they are. The decision making, and like, even like, we've been there talking about decision making that lads are making in the first division is shite. But it's way better than Atten that I've ever done, yeah, or Atten that you've ever done. The quality is just insane. So when you have people like saying that, like, yeah, Jesus, I was handy enough or whatever at Leinster Senior or Junior or, you know, the AUL or any of those other leagues, like, the jump in quality is just outrageous. And I think the way a lot of like young players, like the way that they're minding themselves in the first division, like even like
outside of the first division, go down into the academies, like you see some lads under, like, how is he 14 or 15? Like, he looks like a fully grown man. He's a shithouse.
But that's it. Like it's a total philosophy that a lot of the players have bought into. Like, no one's getting rich. Like, it's only pain and suffering in the first division for the most part. You know what I mean? You're not getting the women. You're not getting the money. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're doing it because there's a lot of grow for it, and they want to work and, you know, work at the highest level that they can achieve and work towards a higher level again. And that's why they're all working extremely hard. And I don't think a lot of people have any appreciation for that. We would have a good view of it, to be fair. But the quality is just outrageous. Mm. And the levels in it is just different again.
Like, I remember playing five-a-side with a first division player one time. And like, as you said, it was just outrageous how fit, quick,
Ah, oh, yeah, same. Yeah, I've done that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I played a game. I played a UCD Super League game against, Rhys Gorman. Played for Longford Town and Bray and Athlone, I think. Played for Longford for a good few years. And this is actually when he joined Longford, but I think he wasn't in the squad for a while. And I actually met him out years later, and he was going on that Tony was like killing him for playing the Super League shite. But my God, like Reece will tell you himself, like he wasn't the most mobile of lads.
Mm.
But Jesus Christ, he was absolutely everywhere. He was on your case. I played left back, and mother of God, you could hear him coming. Like he was just on top of you, and like the ball would be gone and it'd be smacked into the top corner at as if he was playing himself with himself on FIFA. Like it was just like nothing. So I think like
is there anything that can be done, do you think, to make these games more competitive?
Oh yeah, let the length or the non-league teams put out 13 or 14 players. That'd be the quickest way to do it. But I think messing aside, I think the biggest issue is that it's completely separated, the two things. Mm. I know there's that big plan about harmonizing and all of the football in the country, but as we've said in the years past, and we probably have a similar enough conversation each year, we just need a lot of people to be out of the game.
Mm.
A lot of people. There's too many associations and organizations and groups and mouthpieces that, you know, unfortunately, we could just kind of need a bit of a
mouthpieces on a podcast.
Yeah, but like we're on a podcast, so you know what I mean? Like we actually don't actually make any decisions about how.
No, we just tell everyone what they should do.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is, though, that we just need, like, there needs to be a serious, and I know the FA are attempting this, but until that comes to fruition, it's going to be very, very difficult for strong non-league teams to really compete. Because if anyone's any use, they're picked up by a first division or a Premier Division team less regularly, and then they move into that level of football. Whereas it's very hard for a team to build and grow when there's such a gap between the quality but also in the setup. And I think until that changes significantly, it'll be very hard. You're going to get a few upsets all the time. I know we haven't had one in a while, but you might get an upset. You know, some team does really well and squeezes by a League of Ireland team, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah. Some other results of note: Cork City 0, Derry City 1. I think Derry got out of jail here, didn't they?
Yeah, I watched a good bit of this game.
So did I, yeah.
I had an interest on it with the LOI TV production. Good job from the Cork boys. But yeah, I thought Derry were comfortable without being exciting. They did just what they needed to do. Like, I didn't think they were great in the first half. I thought Cork were better. And actually, if anyone wants to go back, you'll see Roy Higgins standing at the tunnel hunting his players down. Like, he clearly wasn't very happy with what he was watching. And I don't blame him. They weren't fantastic. But they came out in the second half, were a bit more solid. And goal from a corner from Sam Todd. Simple as that.
Good sub from Rory.
Good sub from Rory, to be fair, but... Like, is there much else to be said about it? Like, it would have been great for Cork to you know, maybe get him the extra time or something like that, but it just wasn't to be.
Mm.
Be disappointed for them, but they're going to win the First Division again, so... Or...
But yeah, look, I suppose Derry, job done into the next round and could get maybe a soft tie, but again, the sort of performance that you look at and say, is this team going to win a league? I don't think either of us believe that they will. One team that might win the league, Shelburne, they got through on penalties against Galway United, 1-1 after the extra time. Shelburne winning 5-3 on penalties.
Yeah, look, I didn't actually watch a lot of this game at all because there was excitement elsewhere, but it did flick over, and I can't remember who got the goal by goal, but it was a wonderful
Jimmy Cahan, what a strike.
Yeah, absolutely under pressure, and I'm sure the legs would have been very heavy when he was winding up the swing about with that, but really good finish. Yeah, it was a tense enough game. Like from the bit that I watched on Friday, I thought it was tense. It was just like very jittery or something like that, so that no one makes a mistake. But
and a very small crowd as well. So I think it's fair to say, Shell's fans have their very much their eye on the league prize. Not that interested in the cup, I don't think. It's and probably again they've seen Galway a few times this year, so they're probably happy enough to stay at home and not bother with this one. Should also know Aidan O'Brien hitting the ground running, which is very much a positive for Shells.
Yeah, absolutely. But you said, why would that be an excuse for no one coming to a cup game?
Shelburne Galway, I think everyone knew what sort of game it was going to be. I've seen people saying beforehand, like watching paint dry would be more entertaining.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't like that outlook on it, to be quite honest. I think there's more to it than that. There should be more to it. Like, you know, your team are top of the division, of the Premier Division, going very well. Damien Duff signed a new name signing. Into the a good chance of getting through in the cup with a home tie. Very odd. Like I don't see much excuse there at all for.
There was some decent crowds, and then there were some games not so good. But like, I just felt like there was actually quite, as we said, there was a lot of drama. That Waterford that lone game was mental. You had the penalties between Shells and Galway, and then we'll get to Sligo UCD in a second and Kerry Bow. So there were some big stories, but like going into it, were you that excited for the cup? Is there anything that could be done to jazz up the early stages of the cup or the cup in general? I know over the last few years we've come kind of accustomed now to having that big day in early November or late October, the final, and it's a great occasion and we're starting to sell it out. Now we can talk later about whether it'll sell out if a surprise package gets there, but
Shells and UCD.
Like, is there anything that could be done to jazz the cup up a bit? I know they've had this debate for probably the last 10 or 15 years in England, that the FA Cup has kind of lost its shine a bit, and people have said, well, they should give the winners a Champions League spot and all this type of thing. But is there anything we can do to like jazz up the FAI Cup in the early rounds in particular?
Like me and you?
If we were in charge of the FAI Cup, what could we do to spice it up a wee bit?
I really don't know. Like, would it be an idea, for example, right? And this is just in the last 5 seconds since you asked me this question. Like, have like some type of like non-league competition to get into that stage. Like, I know isn't there teams brought in from the Intermediate Cup, the Junior Cup, or did I make that up? Can't remember. But do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, make it more. But then again, like if the best non-league team is going to get bet asunder, I don't know. I think it's very hard for that to be get excited about like that.
Some people have said maybe give the non-league teams home advantage if they draw a League of Ireland team, but then some of them grounds maybe aren't up to hosting a big crowd. So I don't know. Maybe we just have to accept that the FAI Cup, it's not going to really come onto most people's radars until the semi-finals, quarter-final stages, semi-final stages, and then the final itself. Maybe that's just
the way it is. Yeah, like I don't know. I just thought from Michelle's point of view with the poor crowd, like what else can Shells be offering you? Like, what else do Shells need to do? Like for that not to have a better crowd than there was there on Friday. Win the Champions League. Like, I don't know what else they can offer. Probably not the most stylish of football, but they're winning a lot of games. They had an all right run in Europe for the first time in God knows how long. Top of the division. You know, there's a lot of ticks going on here, and then go for, you know, jawing around and talking shite on the sideline. All of these things are, you know, things that people like. I was very disappointed with the crowd, to be quite honest.
Look, Sligo Rovers 0, UCD 2. We talked about it last week in previewing this game, that it's been a fixture that's given Sligo Rovers some headaches down the years, but I don't think either of us saw this coming.
Well, we're not surprised either, though, are we?
I was when I heard the scoreline. Now, I didn't see this game on Saturday, but when I heard the scoreline coming through, I was like, wow. Sligo Rovers, the informed team in the country.
Yeah, but like, sure, everyone's entitled to make a hames of it, fill the togs, as the saying goes. I wasn't entirely surprised by it at the same time. Like, Sligo have, like, it's not, Sligo are going on a good run. They're having a great second half of the season. They brought a lot of players back, but at the end of the day, it's still Sligo. That's what they do. Do you know what I mean? Isn't that what...
this is the history of Sligo.
Yeah, exactly. Took the words out of my mouth. The history of the Sligo. it's just in them. And like, they're, as years have shown, or previous years have shown, they're fond of losing in the cup against a first division team, a team that they should be putting to the side. But it's maybe on one hand shows maybe a lack of respect. We should be doing a job here, but they're not showing the opponent the respect required, and they do something like that. Like, a wonderful goal to open to start the scoring for UCD. Whether it was meant or not, hard to know, but what a finish at the end of the day to put them 1-0 up. A few chances for Sligo, but didn't get it across the line, so that's it. It's not great, but is it the end of the world?
Look, if they finish in Europe, no one will remember this. But
it's still not great going out against.
It's just a massive opportunity miss, because I actually was thinking going into the weekend, after some of the results on Friday, like you're seeing Galway go out, Waterford going out, I was thinking if Sligo get through this game against UCD, it's a very good chance to get to the Aviva. And it's been a long time since they've been at the Aviva, so they had that obviously great spell where they seem to be in every FAI Cup final for a couple of years, but it's been a while now, so I'm sure their fans would have loved a trip to the Aviva. Would have been a great way to cap off what looks like it's going to be a very good season, but I think that's a massive opportunity miss for the Bitter Red. But look, that was the FAI Cup weekend. Before we move on to looking ahead to this weekend's games in both the Premier and the First Division as the league action returns, we're going to talk about one of the big headlines from today, Gary. And that was Shamrock Rovers' statement about the non-coverage of their games from the national broadcaster. And this has got a huge, huge reaction online.
What's your...
Yeah, guys, the reaction on our Twitter today has been absolutely incredible to this. I'd say it's one of the most engaged tweets we ever had. We just simply put out the Rovers statement and it has absolutely blown up. What is your take on it?
I wouldn't necessarily agree with all of it. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about such and such game not being on the telly, and
the first round game against the Icelandic side, yeah.
And it was just like, right, we're after the Euros, the Olympics are going on, or we're going on, or whatever was going on at that particular time. Like, it's been a lot of sport on the telly. Even GAA. Plenty of it on the telly, despite what hurling fans would tell you.
And of course, the football was back this weekend too.
Oh, that too, but I wouldn't mind that from an RTE perspective. And I wouldn't watch it. Well, I don't watch most of any of the games really, but I would watch Match of the Day. I think it's a bit much, to be quite honest. I don't think there's much. Like, does anybody really want to watch Shamrock Rovers get filled in by some team they never heard of? You know, that's like, you know, 10 points ahead of them in the coefficient, but we still know nothing about them. Like, is that compelling? Like, if I'm sitting down and working for RT or Virgin Media, is that something that people are going to want to watch? Genuinely, I don't think there's much there. I just don't see how all of these games should have been on the telly. Like, I just don't I just don't get it, to be quite honest. And I think the statement from Shamrock Rovers was more of a reactionary or looking for a reaction type of thing. Like if RTE come along in a few weeks' time, is like, right, we're going to show this game. What do you think? Yeah, grand. I think that'll be the entirety of that conversation.
I think I'm on a different side of the fence to you. I think Rovers were bang on with their statement, to be honest. I think we were both happy to give RTE a pass for the early rounds because of, as we said, teams that weren't maybe big names to the average football fan, so much sport going on at the time. We were happy to give a pass there, but there's been some huge games in the last few weeks. And I mean, even from you said that maybe, let's say the Celje game, they're not a massive name in European football. Was the average man, armchair viewer, was he going to be that compelled by it? Maybe not, but if he flicked it on and he seen that Rovers were 1-0 down on aggregate and suddenly all of a sudden they were ahead, you know, it would have been entertaining viewing if you were sitting at home watching it. And I know you can't guarantee that ahead of time. It could have been one of the most boring games ever. And then people say, what's this shite doing on the telly? But I think if you don't build a story, and this is something we've talked about before in terms of League of Ireland coverage, it's a massive issue that, you know, there hasn't been a League of Ireland game on RT since May. So whatever game is on next, I don't know. I'd imagine it's going to be a big between some of the teams chasing for the title. How is the average person supposed to understand the story up until this point?
Well, I think that was probably comments that Declan McBennett made elsewhere, where they didn't want to, or it was actually, you may remember, the head of sport for TG Carr was on, was it last year? Started last year?
Might have been the year before, but yeah, go ahead.
But like, I think the point was like, where you, I think you asked, like, would you have any interest in showing like Premier Division games or, you know, of men's? And I think his general answer, so give me some rope here, was kind of right. Well, we don't want to, you know, tell the story and then RTE come along.
Yeah.
And show the, you know, the meat at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And they don't get a look in. And I completely understand that. But RTE don't have have a cursory interest in the League of Ireland, to say the least. And I just don't think there's enough grow for it at all that you need to have to show these games. Like there was plenty of opportunity for RTE to take up those rights at probably little to no money, considering like Solid Sport bought the rights or whoever they are.
I don't think it was a statement as such from RT, that news article that went out on RT Sport, where they basically threw shade on other broadcasters, mentioned the fact that TG Cahir and Virgin and Premier Sports also had the option to take up these games. But like, that doesn't fly when you're the national broadcaster. It just doesn't fly to be talking about other organizations. And
considering the state that RT are in as well.
And like to release that news article with no comment from anyone within RT.
Wait, what article was this?
Today, there was a news article released about Rover's statement. So RT Sport wrote an article about Rover's statement.
Uh-huh.
And then at the bottom of it was like, I'm just going to actually see, can I get it up here? Just so
I have it up here now.
But at the bottom, I'm fairly sure it said like there was no comment from RTE. So like, why would you release that news article in-house?
Well, they would be separate entities. But as regard, well, actually, how, I know like the news is different.
But like, what was the benefit of putting this out? Aside from, as I said, trying to throw shade on other broadcasters. So television rights for the Pout tie were available to acquire for any Irish broadcaster, including RT, Virgin Media, and TG Cahir. Like, it's useless information.
Yeah, no, that is useless. Like, I'd have to...
Oh, sorry, just at the very bottom. RT has not commented on the Shamrock Rovers statement. And just to add to that, we emailed Declan McBennett today. We asked him, did he have anything to add? Would he like to respond to Rover's statement? And we've had no reply. Now, that was only this afternoon at 1 o'clock. We're talking here 9:45, so he hasn't had a huge window there to respond. He might not have seen the email at all. I'm sure he's a busy man, but like, for them to put out that news article, and I appreciate saying that they could be different sections of the one organization or whatever, but like, come on.
Yeah.
Someone needs to be big enough there. and not hide behind, oh, well, TJ Carr could show the game or this crowd could show the game.
Well, there, like,
come out and say something.
There's a difference in RT between like the news organization, like they would be somewhat separate than the general organization of RT. Like they'd be, as we've seen over the last year, there was a lot of self-flagellation going on in the news department about how terrible it all was, even though they were talking about all their colleagues, which is interesting. But there was, yeah, like this is different, different wording than you'd see in like a news article. This came from the sport department, which is interesting. I doubt there's the same type of separation. I might do a bit of digging on that.
I just think it was just, you're trying to shift the attention elsewhere to say, oh, well, this crowd should have shown it or whoever. I just think it's really poor that someone from RT Sport hasn't come out there and been big enough and brave enough to respond to that Shamrock Rovers statement. And that may come in the coming days. Who knows? It was only this afternoon, to be fair. But I just think Declan McBennett went on LOI Central last year, the year before, and like a lot of what he said has just proven to be rubbish. The whole thing about, oh, well, we focus on the champions in the Premier competition, but they haven't shown a single European game this summer. And you can hide behind the fact the Olympics are on and all the rest. But the fact there hasn't been a league game shown since May, it just, most League of Ireland fans would have the feeling that RT in its current guise has little to no interest in the League of Ireland. And it's very very difficult to argue with that opinion, that narrative, when you look at stuff like this happening.
And I don't dispute that either. But what I do, the point I do want to make is that, like, I don't know. I just find it very hard for Anorak, outside of Anoraks like us, to be watching Shamrock Rovers versus Selgie. Like, that's not, like, who wants to watch that? Other than a lot of people listen to this podcast, or, you know, one of the 30,000 people that go to a match every week. Like, is this compelling viewing for people? I just don't, like, I'm not sure, like, let's say Derry, like, would it have been any you showing that Derry game against Bruno's Magpies? What good would that have done for anybody's sanity? What, either watching that game, and plenty of us did, but what good would that have been for the general sporting public that would consume RT? I don't know.
This is probably a wider conversation we could get into. I don't want to spend too long on it because it's a lengthy enough pod otherwise. But Stephen Bradley's kind of made comments in the past that maybe it's time to break away and forget about RT and go and do our own thing.
I don't think that's wrong.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, the league isn't making, well, the clubs aren't making any money from showing these games. Rovers, just to point out, as they said in their statement, waived the rights fee for this game to be shown on national television, and no one took up that option, which is, I think, is mind-boggling given the stage of the competition we're in. I think there's a story to tell there, a narrative that,
completely, you know,
you can get the viewer involved in. But maybe it is time. Maybe this is the final straw. Maybe it's time to look at how, as a league, we can grow without the national broadcaster.
It is fascinating, though, on maybe another hand, I did see a tweet. I have this habit of looking at tweets. Jeez, that's interesting. And then
forgetting about it,
but also forgetting about the person who tweeted it. I think someone said today that out of every UEFA entity in Europe, there was a game on the national broadcast, the public broadcaster, and Ireland was the only one without it. Like, I'll say, I guarantee if Declan McBennett came on, or I know he does a few tweeting tirades now and again, he'd be comparing himself to Europe and European counterparts and our colleagues in Europe and the broadcasting community in Europe and all this other shite. He'd be perfectly, that's obviously a statement he won't be able to make now, because he'll be the odd one out. Or he will be the only broadcasting, public broadcaster in Europe that haven't had a game on their, from any side in their jurisdiction, on the telly free to air, which is strange. I see both points. I wouldn't be as probably hard on it as a lot of people have been, but
It'll be interesting to see if Rovers stick to their guns on this. I can't.
Oh, no, not at all.
If Rovers play their way back into the title race and there's a big showdown at home to Shells or Derry or whoever.
Yeah, no, no.
I would fully expect to see the RT cameras there.
Yep, yep. And I don't believe it for a second. This will all be forgotten tomorrow morning.
Right, we'll move on. Let's go into the Predictions League. And we had our good friend Max on the pod last week playing on behalf of the listeners. And he did text me after to say, to get the mention on the pod, because he's a massive fan of the pod, it met his birthday week. So happy birthday to Max again. And he absolutely filled us in, Gary.
He did.
Obviously, there was only we picked out of the eight FA Cup ties, we only did predictions on five of them. So it was always likely to be a bit low scoring. But I only got the 1 point. I think I got Shell's Galway draw, but I went for Galway extra time, so I didn't get the bonus point there. The only one you got correct. You didn't get any correct. You got nothing.
Oh, yeah, okay. And,
Max got six. He got the bonus point, Shell's Galway, because he went 1-1 after 90 minutes. So he got the 3 points for getting the correct score. And then he had Shell's on penalties. So he got the bonus point there. He actually Kerry and Bowes to draw. So he got a point there, but he went Kerry on penalties instead of Bowes. So he missed out on a bonus point there as well. And he got Derry to beat Cork, but he didn't get the correct score. So he only got a point there. But he got 6 points in total. So that leaves the table as follows. Gary, you still haven't broken the century mark. You're on 97. I'm on 107, so I've pulled 10 clear of you now. But I am 12 points behind the listeners. They are out on 100. Actually, no, sorry. Wait, that's last week's scores. Here's the updated scores. You still haven't broken the century mark. You're on 98. I am on 109, and the listeners are on 125. So the listeners are starting to pull clear.
Yeah, I think I had a good few. I had a great run for a few weeks.
Yeah, you've had a rotten few weeks now.
I've had terrible weeks. Yeah.
Eric,
I'm running out of time.
Eric Dunnigan is going to play this week. He is a Pats fan. So let's see what he can do for the listeners this week. We'll start in the Premier Division and we're going to go with Waterford against Derry.
Tough game, this.
This hasn't gone well for Waterford earlier in the season, this fixture.
No, it hasn't.
I'll tell you what, Pat Hooban could do with a few goals. He's got a couple of hat-tricks against Waterford this season. This is the game that could spark him back into life. I actually got a message from a Derry fan. I won't name him because he sent it in. I think actually it's a Cork fan, actually. So he said, not bitter in any way about Cork City Friday night, but I would be very worried if I was Derry. They made a brutal Cork City team look like Brazil. Pat Hooban be better off staying at home. No ball at all played into him. Derry fine going forward, but defensively wide open.
Yeah, hard to disagree with a lot of that. I think your man's being a bit harsh on Cork. Like they're not exciting, but they're all right. Like they're not. They're not terrible.
I thought the two boys actually looked good up front the other day. I think they'll do a bit of damage. I think Rory Higgins spoke about that after the game. That
they had a few good chances between them, and you know, I think Seanie McGuire put one just wide in the 6 yard box, I think.
But they caused problems, you know, they ran the channels well, caused problems. But this fixture hasn't gone well for Waterford this season. They come into this off the back of a bit of a bruising FAI Cup defeat. Derry did what they had to do. Can they put in a professional performance on the road here and come away with a positive result?
Based on what I saw against Shells, they do have that capacity. This is going to be a very difficult game for them. I'd say Waterford, you know, there's a bit of hurt there after the debacle on Friday against Athlone. I think they've been, you know, on one hand, okay, we got Leahy back. He should never have been sent off. There was a goal, we had a ball over the line. The game should have been killed off in 90 minutes. There's a lot of like, oh geez, like we were done. And I think that might be make life a bit difficult for Derry. But based on what I saw in Tolka Park a couple of weeks ago, I think they have the capacity to manage the game well and potentially come out on the winning side. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Derry.
Okay, 2-1 to Derry. Our listener who's playing this week, Eric Dunnigan, he goes the same, Gary. He's gone 2-1 to Derry as well. I am worried about Derry. I haven't been impressed at all with performances over the last number of weeks. Waterford, though, you know, they conceded three goals against a first division team, and I know it was obviously extenuating circumstances there, but with their record in this fixture this season, I'm probably going to go the same way. I'll go 2-1 to Derry, but would not be at all surprised if Derry filled the togs in this one. Drogheda against Sligo. I was actually at a couple of these games last year in Weavers Park where things didn't go well for Sligo. They were beaten in the FAI Cup by Drogheda last year, and then they played a few days later in the league, and I think...
Is that a draw?
Did Sligo beat them in the Cup, actually? Maybe it was the other way around. Maybe they bet them in the Cup and then reversed them in the league. But anyway, look, I was at them two games last year. I can't remember the results of them, but I remember them being difficult games for Sligo.
Yeah.
And Sligo coming into this one off the back of obviously disappointing Cup exit against UCD. Drogheda are buzzing. I know Wilton are no great shakes, to say the very least, but to get 9 goals, Douglas Taylor again scoring a bag full of goals. Confidence is starting to really pick up around Drogheda. I think they'll be looking at this fixture and saying, we can get something here, despite Sligo's really good league form of late.
I think so as well. I think that's a fair enough summation of it. I think the way that Drogheda have to approach games now is we have to be compact and not give away anything stupid, but jeez, we can beat anybody. I think that's the only way of looking at it, because they're going to have to go hard at it, because it's they've no real choice. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not... They're running out of games, they're running out of time. It has to be done. I think there's going to be maybe one that Sligo will be lucky to get a draw from, and so I'm going to go 1-1, but I think Drogheda will be disappointed with the result. I think it might be one where geez, we'll have 2 points behind us there.
I'm going the same. I'm going 1-1. And Eric is going 2-1 to Sligo. So he's sticking with Sligo there. Dundalk against Pats. Stephen Kenny back at Oriel Park. This one's on Sunday now, because Pats obviously in Europe on Thursday night.
Oh, great. You'll be at this one, so.
I will. And I wouldn't have got to it if it was Friday because I was working. So delighted to see the 3 p.m. of a Sunday. That'll be fun.
You will, you're at. You'll be at Weavers Park on Friday. Dude, what do you think? You, the big Dundalk man, come on, you should be taking the lead on these.
And again, like, it's hard to predict these games because you don't know what's going to happen to Pats on Thursday. Pats get filled in that first leg, then, right, we have to focus on the league now. If they get a good result, then they rest 9 players like they did against Galway. Now, they were good enough to get a point in Galway with basically their B team out. Dundalk are much lower down the league table than Galway, so you'd have to think if Pats put out a B team again, that they're more than capable of getting a result. Dundalk have looked a little bit flat over the last while. They obviously didn't play a competitive game during the week because they were out of the cup. But I know they beat Longford 3-0 in a friendly, so they've been kept ticking over.
Go on.
I think this could be a draw as well. And I think it could be a fairly dull game of football. I'm going to go 0-0.
I was thinking
that on the basis that Pats get a semi-decent result on Thursday. If Pats get destroyed on Thursday, I think they put all their focus on this and they probably win the game.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Pats here. Whether they get filled in or not on Thursday is one thing, but I think they just have enough quality to do a job on, not a real job, but get 3 points anyway against Dundalk. I think Dundalk are in batter.
Eric, who is a Pats fan, sticking with his team there. He's gone 2-1. He's gone 2-1 in all the games. Very boring, Eric. Come on, give me some. Rovers against Galway. This one will be on the Sunday as well. So again, it's another weekend where you've got good viewing options on LOA TV.
This is late on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, they usually play them late, don't they? Just having a look at the kickoff time. This is, 7 o'clock on Sunday. So you have Dundalk Pats at 3 and then flick over to Rovers and Galway.
Yeah, hopefully maybe a nice James Bond now at 5 o'clock or something like that would be nice. I think there's an opportunity here for Galway. Like Rovers... They're playing on Thursday. Where are they playing on Thursday?
They're playing away on Thursday.
Hmm. Where is that game again?
Greece.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, it's Pauk. Jesus Christ. Mm. I'm not well. If they get a spanking over there, like, it's, like, this is a free shot. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, even on pure financial terms, there's no real difference between prize money in the conference and the Europa League. Like, there
is that a positive for Rovers going into this playoff game, or a negative? The fact that the pressure is kind of off. They know, right, if we lose here, we're still in the group stage. Is that actually nearly a negative? Do you think it'll take a bit of edge away from the players?
It probably will, but like, you still have to go out and try and, like, do you want to play at the highest level you can, or do you not? Like, do you want to be going to, I don't know, maybe get drawn in a group of teams in France and Spain, or do you want to be, you know, there's a lot of...
Well, you say that, but isn't Chelsea in the Conference League playoff round this coming Thursday night?
Oh, yes.
They're playing a Swiss team, I think.
All right, okay. Fair play. Yeah, I don't know. Just imagine Chelsea getting drawn with Shamrock Rovers in a group. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. But yeah, look, I it probably is a bit of a issue, because you need a bit of jeopardy. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we don't win, if we don't do this, like, you know, to have a complete safety net, because it's an achievement to get to a group stage either in the conference or Europa. So I don't think they're going to be looking at it, you know, too strongly. They're going to have to put out a lot of effort to you know, keep Pauk down. And also with an important league game at home on Sunday, it's going to be very difficult.
These two teams are both on 38 points to go. We've played a game more, but in terms of the race for the top three, and I think it's starting to look like you might need to be in the top three to get into Europe, because the way the cup is unfolding, massive possibility there that one of the top three teams won't win the cup.
Yeah, but Derry and Chelsea are still in the cup.
Hmm.
One of them will probably win it, you know that.
Yeah, I think I said from even before it started, I fancied Derry for the cup.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just think Shamrock Rovers, they have a big enough squad. They'd have to get Mandreou in. Don't know how fit he is, but he's probably done pre-season with Lincoln, so he'll be fit enough, ready to go. Why can't they operate on multiple fronts? That's what champions have to do. I'm going to go for... 1-0 win to Shamrock Rovers.
I'm going 1-0. Eric going 1-1 there.
I think it's going to be very difficult for Rovers. I think I'm taking a bit of a risk going for 1-0 Rovers, to be quite honest. What are you going? Get it out of you.
Go away. Know how to make it tough. Mandreou signing, as you said, could he be the difference in a game like this? So I'm just going to go 1-0 Rovers here, because I really want Rovers to get, like, genuinely back into the title race to see if they'll let RT back into Tala.
Oh, come on, will you?
Go 1-0 Rovers. One more game in the Prem to talk about, and that is a massive Dublin derby between Shelburne and Bohemians. One team chasing the title, one team trying to avoid the drop.
Yeah, polar opposites here. I'm only seeing bad things in Bowes. Like, what would redeem you from Friday? Do you know what I mean? Like, what are you going to look at and go, yeah, this is stuff like this that makes me think that Bowes are going to put up a fight here against Shells?
Yeah, like, they've got quite a few derby games coming up. And I think that's actually the last thing this Bowes team need. Because they were out-muscled by a first division team. How on earth are they going to go toe-to-toe with the likes of Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers over the next few weeks? I just don't see it.
No.
Obviously, everyone thought when they beat Rovers in the Cup, that might be the spark for something, but...
Not at all.
Wasn't the case at all, so...
I'm going to go for a 1-0 Shelburne win.
1-0?
1-0.
Yeah, I think you just have to, don't you? That's just... par for the course at the moment when it comes to Shells. Let me just see. I've lost Eric's prediction for this one. Let me just have a quick look and see what he's gone here. Apologies, listeners. Amateur hour in operation here. Eric, let me have a look. Where is he? Eric is going for...
Jeez, come on.
What game is this against Shells Bows? Yeah. Why hasn't he given me a score for this one? I don't think he's given me a score for this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Did I leave it out of the tweet, I wonder? No, I didn't. He's not giving us a score. We're going to give him the score here. He forgot to give us Shells against Bows.
Okay, give him 8-0 Bows.
I'll go 0-0 there, Eric. Hope you don't mind that. Right, let's move to the first division. Athlone against Bray. Eric did give us our prediction here. He's going for a smashing 3-0 win for Athlone.
Yeah, they have to be buzzing. Hard performance, hard work. But to come out on the right side of it, it'll seem like nothing. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Athlone. No, sorry, 2-1 win to Athlone.
2-1 win to Athlone. Yeah, I think we just have to have a couple of words on Athlone. I know we kind of talked about maybe the controversies of that win against Waterford, but this is the best season Athlone have had since 2013, since they won the first division under Roddy Collins. They are absolutely flying on all fronts.
Yeah, it's class. It's I don't know if it's surprising, but it's not. Like, you have so many players signing all the time from different countries. You have to hand it to Dario Castillo. He's putting a shape on it. You know what I mean? He's putting some form of team together that's playing somewhat cohesively. So, you know, praise has to be given there. But at the end of the day, as I say, it goes there. Second in the division still. True to the quarter final of the cup. Have a great shot of getting promoted. Some really good results this season. Like, there's so many positives from them so far. I'm gonna go for
You've already got 2-1, yeah. Eric going 3-0, as I said. It's hard to see anything other than an Athlone win here. I think I'll follow you, Gaz, and I'll go 2-1. We've got the Cork derby then. That's Cove against Cork.
Yeah, a lot of... There's probably no spice in this much anymore. Like, they're totally different dioceses on the table. So, another comfortable win for Cork, I think. It's been an all-right run of form for Cove, but I don't think they'll have enough. Like, particularly... Rory Keating and Shawnee Maguire have had a few weeks now to get acquainted and a bit of regular training and stuff like that. It kind of feels like a Dredrick Tatum Homer Simpson match, you know. Shawnee Maguire and Rory Higgins are back and they're going to take it out on Cove. I'm going to go 3-0 to Cork, and I'd say Shawnee Maguire will get one goal at least.
Okay. I'm going to go 2-0 to Cork City. I don't think it'll be, as we always say, what's our favourite quote from The Sopranos?
It's not our favourite, but it's a good one.
It's up there. It won't be cinematic. Yeah. It'll be just Cork City doing what they do, grinding it out 2-0. And we have got Eric going for a 1-0 win to Cork City there. Right, UCD against Finn Harps.
Hard to figure out this one. Harps have been falling away.
Yeah, you'd have to fancy UCD here.
You'd have to fancy UCD, but...
These are the sort of games that they've slipped up in this season at home.
UCD?
Mm.
That's what I mean. I think they'll still shave it, but I think it's going to be a poor enough game.
Don't go to this. Stay away.
No, I won't be at it. I won't be at any game this weekend, bar our own. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to UCD. I think it's going to be a dowry game, man. But it'd be like the type of game that like UCD score after 5 minutes and Harris will off and puff and. Yeah. Poor old success, he might put 8 shots in down the keeper's throat and not score any. I think it's going to be a poor enough game. I'm going to go for 1-0 win to UCD.
1-0 to UCD. Yeah, I didn't imagine that. I've talked about this a bit over the last few weeks. These sort of games at home for UCD, that they have a tendency to slip up in them. I've just had a look at the home table there. They're second bottom. You can probably guess who's bottom. But UCD, 3 wins from 13 at home, drawn 6. Now, they've only lost 4, but 15 points from 13 games, not a fantastic return. They've only got 1 win in their last 5 at home. A goal difference of +1. So yeah, I haven't dreamt that up. They do have a tendency to underwhelm at home at times. So I think I'm going to follow you. Actually, I know I said you'd have to fancy UCD, but I can actually see this game in my head already. And similar to what you said there, UCD will score after 5 minutes, and then I think Harps will bundle in and I'll corner down the other end in the 80th minute or something. I'm going to go 1-1 in this game. Eric is going for a 3-1 win to UCD. Treaty against Wexford. Treaty filling their boots at the weekend.
Yeah, what's that? 10 goals in the last 2 games, is it? No, the
11. 11 goals in their last 2.
Well, yeah.
7-4 is 11.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no, wait. Did they not play someone in between that?
No.
Ah. Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm getting confused with me days of the week off. Yeah, free scoring, Andy Kern back at it. Loving life.
Wexford, though, had that great week before. And they've continued it as well. They had a great win in the Cup. Now, they had to work maybe a little bit harder than Treaty did the weekend.
I think Treaty will do it.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, there's no consistency with Wexford. They turn out a great result. Blah, 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 and then do something stupid the following week. I don't think they'll need to be. I think Treaty are in a great buzz there.
Current fit and firing is huge. That just gives you a belief that, Jesus, we can beat anyone in this division, bar maybe Cork.
Yeah, well, they nearly did. Absolutely. So I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Treaty.
2-0, yeah. You've sold me here. I'm going to go 2-1 to Treaty, just because Curran's in such good form. If Treaty do win this, do you fancy them to get in that top 5?
Well, it'll put them 2 points behind Wexford with 8 games left. It's very, very, very possible. Because, like, we think, like, if you're looking at the table right now, we think Cove are going to lose and we think Harper's going to lose. Treaty are going to win. That'll put them up level on points with Cove, 2 points behind Wexford. Why not?
They could just be timing things right here, Treaty. So yeah, I'll go 2-1 to the Limerick men there. Eric going for a 1-1 draw. That brings us to Longford against Kerry on Saturday night at Bishopsgate.
Big game. They're all big games. Longford Down had a very nice win and clean sheet against Wayside Celtic on Saturday. I didn't see you at that one, Barco. No, it was just down the road from me, thank God. I think Longford Town to win 2-0. That's it.
Can you give me some logic for that, please?
I think Kerry will be, they'll be happy with their performance, but I think the physical toll that game would have taken
out extra time, a bit of emotion.
But like they had to give absolutely everything, and they gave it all. There's no question about that. They left everything on the pitch. But Longford Town had a week off. They'll be fresh. A couple of players coming back to fitness from injury. I think probably one of the larger squads that Wayne Groves will be able to put onto the pit or into this matchday squad. Probably the largest one he's had in a while. And a couple of signings over the summer got some game time on Saturday. So definitely some positives for Wayne Groves maybe that he hasn't had in the last few weeks. Now, I know Longford Town were diabolical against Treaty last time out, but they have to be Kerry. This is it. This is Longford Town's Cup final.
Jesus Christ.
It's shocking. But this is where they find themselves. And like, they bet Kerry at home the last time out.
They had also beaten Treaty at home earlier in the season. So you would have looked at that one and said, we can get something from this. And they got absolutely filled in. So wouldn't give you much confidence. But I'm just looking here. 5 of Longford's last 9 are at home. They've got Kerry. They go to Cork the week after. No chance of ending there. The host Bray, who Longford have beaten this season.
Yeah, nearly bet twice as well.
Away to Harps, that won't be easy. A home to Wexford, you could get maybe a point there. Away to Treaty, you wouldn't fancy Longford. The Midland Derby at home, you'd fancy that loan there. A home to Cove, Cove could be looking for points to get in the playoffs there. And then away to UCD the last day of the season. If Longford don't beat Kerry on Saturday, will they win a game between now and the end of the season?
They will win a game.
They've got 9 games left. How many games will they win between now and the end of the season?
5 or 6.
That would just stop.
I think they'll win one more, even if they don't beat Treaty or Kerry on Saturday. But if they don't beat Kerry on Saturday, no matter what they do, they'll finish bottom of the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But you think they will win, that you're going 2-0?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kerry did have a very, very, draining game yesterday. But they've got like a week to get ready. Haven't been in great form in the league, though. And like, it might be a bit of after the Lord Mayor show, you know, building up all week for that big occasion, huge crowd at Mount Hawk. They're going to probably play in front of a couple of hundred down in Longford. I'll go for a draw. I'm going to go 1-1. This is must win for Longford if they want to try and get themselves off that bottom spot. Our listener Eric doesn't think Longford will win this. He's going 2-1 to Kerry. So there you go.
What did you go?
1-1.
Oh, you're a miserable, miserable.
I don't want to get myself excited.
Right, okay. Fair enough.
Right, let's go to the BTS hotline. Julian Canny, who was a recent listener that took part in the Predictions League, he says, with Rovers,
as well, by the way.
He did. With Rovers, Sligo, Waterford and Galway being out of the cup, it will be some battle for third and fourth. Rovers should finish third, but who do you reckon will get fourth?
I think Waterford will. Did Julian mention Pats in that?
No.
Yeah, he was right there. I think Waterford have enough. I know they lost a few games there in quick succession. Particularly that Waterford game at home was not ideal, to say the least. But I think Waterford have enough.
And having Paul Jammin is huge for them. Seen that, as I said, I turned off the game the other night when Ammon scored and they went 2-1 up. I was like, that's just, that's what you want. You're number 9. Just, tap it in anyway. And, that's job done. But like having him 11 goals this season, like we spoke about earlier on with, End of Corrin there, a few minutes ago. Yeah. With him fit and firing, you always believe we have a chance. It's the exact same with Ammon.
Yeah.
Rovers, though, yeah, he thinks Rovers in the top three. Shelsderry, Rovers. I wouldn't totally rule out Sligo. I think Ammon might be the difference. I think Waterford might just get that fourth spot.
And Rovers, well, are they going to be distracted with Europe? Won't have enough?
No, I think Rovers will finish in the top three.
So not Waterford?
No, I think Waterford will be fourth.
Okay,
but then, Galway could do it either. Like Galway.
What about Sligo? What about Bowes? They can win all the rest of their games.
Galway lost 8 times this season, but they're just so.
Waterford have lost 11 times.
Mm.
But they have only drawn 4.
Yeah, they don't draw many. No. Yeah, the answer is Julian. We don't know. We haven't a clue. let's move on to the next one. Sam, ref for Waterford at loan Friday, the worst I've ever seen, but look, we get this tweet every week. That says something at least. One perfectly good goal not given. Leahy sent off for nothing, and then we're given a soft penal a minute later to try and even it up. Truly terrible, but nothing will be done about it. As I said, we get the tweet every week that this was the worst refereeing performance of all time.
I think that picture just exacerbates the result and everything. So doesn't help the situation. Doesn't help the brain when you see that after a tough game.
We're a bit referee heavy this week in the hotline. Git, what excuses will the match delegate come up with to defend David Dunn's officiating in Waterford on Friday? No doubt it will go unpunished yet again. I think we spoke about this on a recent pod. Like, it's all well and good saying, yeah, that ref shouldn't ref next week. But the pool is quite small.
Too small.
So, Jack Kelleher, Derry were seriously poor at Turner's Cross on Friday. For the first 60 minutes, Cork City were the much better side and only scored from a header, which was very undeserving. Is Higgins' job in jeopardy if performances carry on like this? I don't see Derry doing anything between now and the end of the season in terms of a managerial change. I think they'll let it run till the end of the season, no matter what happens. If they don't win the league, then I think there will be serious, serious questions asked of management there.
And I think we said, though, last week, like, is winning the cup any...
No. It's the league. They have to win the league.
I think he'll get another year out of it, though, if they don't win the league.
Like, they could have easily gone out on Friday against Cork, and that would have been a season of a massive blot on their copybook, going out to a pub team in Europe. Mm-hmm. And then going out to a first division team in the cup. Now, they avoided that, so, you know, let's not get too much into what could have happened. They got the job done. They're into the next round. I said from the get-go, I fancied them to win the cup. They could very well go and do that. But if they don't win the league, I think the season has been a failure.
Yeah,
With Rovers, been a no-show for a good majority of it. Now, I fancy Rovers to finish the season strongly. And could yet get in the shake-up. But to have had such a huge head start over Rovers and had similar last year and didn't make the most of it,
yeah,
certainly look like they're not going to make the most of it this year. So I think serious questions will be answered if they don't win the league. Sean Kelleher, is the first division really that bad? Well, look, I think we kind of joked about the show, didn't we? We've been quite critical of the first division this season. But yeah, it was a great weekend for the second-tier clubs.
Absolutely, yeah. I think there is quality missing at the same time. Style is probably a bit more, but like, look, to be fair to Enda Curran, we give him a lot of digs, but Jizzy, he was sensational against Longford last Saturday week. So there is plenty of quality in the division. We're just probably not seeing enough of it to our liking.
Daniel Foran, definitely the Rover statement and the RT article in response. So yeah, look, we've covered that. Paddy, John Caulfield versus Stephen Kenny in a boxing match, who wins? We obviously had this debate about Duffer and Higgins a few weeks ago, and we both felt that Higgins would take Duffer. Caulfield against Kenny, I think you'd fancy Caulfield.
Definitely.
Although, as we said that time in the RSC, his balance wasn't the best, so you know, maybe Kenny could throw a few shapes, you know. I don't know.
Sure, give him the hips.
Yeah.
I'd say Caulfield to do it.
I think so.
Yeah. Hardy man.
Thomas Tormey, who, as I said, always gives us such insightful questions. He's picked up a tweet from Jared Farrell. He says, I think Jerry has asked a good question here, but for what it's worth, I think that given where Cork started in terms of crowds, facilities, etc., relative to the rest of the league, their demise from 2018 to 2020 was worse than Fenland's Bows. So just to add context to that, what Jared was saying, considering the squad and the resources made available to the management team, would getting Bohemian FC relegated for the first time in our 134 years existence count as the greatest act of football mismanagement in recent League of Ireland history?
No,
I don't think so.
No.
I think there's been worse.
Plenty worse.
And I ran into
the ground did I say the league come tweeting today about Cork being 40 years old?
I don't know.
Because are they using to count the years? I don't bloody know, because they're more. I'm not 40 yet, but Jesus Christ, I'm well older than that Cork team.
I was going to say, I replied to that tweet saying, I think if the Dock go down this season, you'd have to look at that and say, from the heights they were at, if they go down, that would be just one of the biggest falls from grace of all time.
Wasn't the most recent Cork entity winning the division and then relegated in 3 years without a pot? So and you see it a lot. I watched a match of the day on Saturday, and then you know that EFL highlight show on ITV. I flicked that on for a while, and like, there was, I think Birmingham were in League Two.
Is it League One or League Two? League One.
Are they in League One?
Yeah, League One. I think. Yeah.
I remember watching them in the Premier League 10 or 12 years ago.
In Europe?
Yeah. Mm. That big boy, what was his name? Zigic up front.
Oh, yeah.
a monster of a fella. Mm. But, like, it can happen. And, like, I just think because of the size of the divisions, the size of the footballing industry we have, things can go to shit very, very, very quickly. And as I keep saying, the amount of money that was lost in the Premier Division top five clubs last year is an insane amount of money that we haven't talked about yet. I'd like to look into that more myself, but it is insane but it's not surprising either. The amount of money being floated around, and Tim Clancy made that point a few weeks ago, the amount of money being thrown around to players that at clubs that aren't next or near Europe, that shows also that Europe is the where the money is. You're going to get nothing out of this country financially. So you need to be making it in Europe. And the flip side of that is the decisions being made, and to use Bozen as an example, and consider the wages that they're pegging around the place at the moment. Like, it is disastrous, like, with the amount of money that they're spending. Like, the wages are huge. Mm. Huge. So, yeah, that requires further thought.
Good tweet from the boys, though. Dylan, if Shells or Derry win the league and go into the Champions League qualifiers, I don't see them being able to be the same calibre of a team as Rovers in a European tie and making the group stages.
I think the difference there with Rovers is, like, they have a lot of European experience. I
was just going to say that, huge amounts of experience, yeah.
So, like, that, but that takes years.
I'm like Derry, Dylan, but, like, as we touched on before, a lot of that Derry team is the Dundalk 2016 era, which is a long time ago now.
8 years ago, you're talking about. Yeah, I don't want to know about that. Like, I'm sure half of them are not playing. More 90% of them are not playing. I think, was Andy Boyd in that one of them teams, one of them squads? Like, yeah, I wouldn't pass too much remarks on that. Like, Patrick McElhenney is probably, you know, he played in 2016. Did Michael Duffy? No. Don't think 2016. No, he wasn't. Darren Horgan was there in the left wing. So yeah, he wouldn't know much about that. But I think the it's what I have a few things I always go back to, and one of them is pedigree.
Yeah,
from a League of Ireland perspective, Shamrock Rovers are the pedigree side for European football. It'll take years of getting the shite kicked out of you against teams in, you know, Slovakia, Hungary and all sorts of places to build up that level of understanding how to play. And that will require the chassis of a squad being kept by Duffer. Yeah. He's going to have to, like, you probably know, I'm not about to tell Damien Duff his business, but, like, Bradley kept the, by and large, you know, he added, he took away and added, he never went out and got four or five players.
Yeah, he kind of followed Kenny's model with Dundalk, really.
Yeah, adding one, booting one, adding a few, booting a few. Never did anything too rash. And that kind of carried on that pedigree all the time, where, like, Duffer won't be able to do, you know, he'll have to be a lot more cute with what he does with his playing staff if they're going to, you know, to have a sustained period at the top end of the table.
The only thing I will say is that, like, the Champions route now really does make it a lot easier to get to a group stage. It's not to take away what Rovers have done in recent years and have done this season as well, guaranteeing themselves.
You need a kind draw as well, though.
You do, but, like, we kind of touched on it, certainly on our Twitter. I don't know if we touched on it on the pod. Like, the Northern Irish teams have had a horrendous summer. Horrendous. Yeah. But Laren have made it. Laren are the champions. They obviously had the Champions route, and they've made it through to the Conference League playoff round, and they've drawn a team from Gibraltar, the Red Imps. So, like, that is an unbelievable opportunity for a Northern Irish team to make a group for the first time. It just goes to show that Champions route, it's a huge, huge thing to have that. Without, like, what Pats are doing is incredible. To got to a playoff, you know, having won all them games is amazing. If they can go all the way, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
But that Champions route really does make it easy. So, Yeah, look, as you said, it's going to take maybe a season or two for Shells or Derry to build up that kind of know-how of Europe like Rovers have. But I'd hope with the Champions route that, you know, maybe they can, as you say, get a kind draw and you just don't know what happens after that. Cian, the gap between the Prem and the First Division has never been closer. And if Bows go to ninth, will they go down?
There's a very good chance of it. There, like you look at that performance on Saturday, left, you know, I felt bad for all the Bows fans going down there, going on as if they travelled across the Sahara Desert to get to that game. Oh, 13-hour days. Wipe my arse with your 13-hour days. We did that after a day's work. We were doing that. And plenty of teams around the country, fans of teams around the country. Yeah, going on as if they went to the moon for the game. But, I would hate it. Like, if Athlone right now were playing Bows, you'd have to look. Athlone would win that game. I don't think that's a stretch at all. Yes, Gary, you're right. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, like, it's still kind of hard to see them going down, but you can also see it. Do you know what I mean? It's,
yeah, but like, would it, like, a lot of people wouldn't have seen Kerry. You know, you knew that they were going to put up a fight, but you would have expected some, you know, glimmer of quality.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we know that Kerry were dying on their feet, throwing themselves at everything and all the rest of that. But there's things that you just have to go and do. And yes, it's hard, but, you know, the quality, the full-time training and all the rest of that should have brought Bows over the line. And I know, you know, football is a simple game, but it's not that simple either.
You made a great point earlier on. The games they've got coming up, they could easily lose all four of them, and then they go in to
and
the
play
game,
the loud
clubs.
Yeah.
And will they have the stones?
Well, I don't think they have. They've no stones. They are stones. That's what they are. Like, they'd have no balls. No. As I said many times before, no identity. I just look at Bows as just a collection of footballers.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're trying to achieve. And it's, look at something that I've been saying for a long time. I don't know what they're trying to achieve on the pitch. They're so far off, and it's actually insane.
Right, let's put our cards on the table here. Who's going to finish bottom? Who's going to finish ninth, and who's going to finish eighth?
I think Dundalk will finish bottom.
Ooh. Okay.
I think Bows will squeeze out of it.
Eighth.
Yeah.
Draw the ninth.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I don't see Drogheda finishing bottom. That's all I'm going to say.
So that's Dundalk finishing bottom.
Well, Bows could finish bottom either, but...
You just can't say it. You're beloved Dundalk. Jesus Christ. Why don't you just go marry Dundalk?
The thing is, we have form for saying the team will finish bottom and then they skyrocket up the league. So,
yeah, we're egots.
Yeah, we haven't a clue what we're talking about.
No.
But still people tune in their droves every week, which is great. So look, that's where we'll leave it. Really enjoyable pod once again. Quite a pick going on there this week. And... it'll be busy again next week, guys, because we've got two huge games coming up on Thursday night. Just end the show very briefly on those. Do you give Rovers and Pats a chance of winning those ties?
I give Rovers a chance. I don't think I give Pats a chance. It'd be a master class from Stephen Kenny if he was able to put a stop to these boys.
I think it's doable in both ties, to be honest.
I think it's doable, but like... I think Rover.
I think Pat's second leg is away from home. Rovers are at home for the second leg. So,
yeah.
Again, can they just keep it alive? The concern with Rovers is how they just give teams chances on a silver platter away from home in Europe. They make some dreadful mistakes at times. And if they do that against Pauk, then they could concede three or four and it could be all over. But
if they do what Ethan says to do, the first 5 minutes of the game, boot it. And the 5 minutes either side of the half, boot it. If they do that, then they should be okay. That's a very solid tactic there. I might actually get in touch with Stephen Bradley. And Stephen Kenny. But they just need to not be pricking. This is an underdog. Do you know what I mean?
I think we didn't really talk about it, but the Pats result against Sabah, like to win in Azerbaijan. Now, I know there was a red card and all the rest, but like they over the two legs, I think this was the most important thing. They never looked in danger over the two legs. They were in complete control of that tie. I think that was very, very impressive how they managed that tie. They were in control the whole way through. So with Kenny's pedigree, your favorite word in Europe, I think they've got every chance. It would be absolutely amazing to see two Irish teams in the groups. And not only that, it would absolutely destroy the broadcasters, which would be great fun.
Good.
Yeah, so look, on that note, that's where we'll leave it. That was Series A, Episode 26 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Despite the fact me and Gary haven't a clue what we're talking about, you continue to tune in every week. So we thank you for that. Make sure you subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And do get in touch with us on Twitter, or X as it's now known, Between the Stripes. Our handle is at Between Stripes. We love hearing from our listeners. So we'll see you over in social media land, or maybe we'll bump into you at a game around the country at some stage between now and the end of the season. Don't be afraid to say hello. But for this week, from Kieran Burke, Gary Riley, and our sponsors, Quinn AV, a huge thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.